Bez Hashem is Bochum begin Perek Esi with the 10th chapter in the Amos Hilchos Chirus and the laws of rentals in the Sefer Mishpatim Book of Judgments, where we continue the theme of the previous Perek discussing the rentals of people, meaning hiring someone to work. Where in this Perek we discuss regarding hiring a person where you're paying him for his guardianship, which is that of the Halach of the Shemir Sachar, someone who gets paid to watch things. We talk about many different types of the unique Shemir Sachar, and regarding the responsibility of people that are doing work. As Rambam gets halacha regarding the halacha of a mashkin, of someone who's holding on to a security, some type of a collateral. So amavis chabed al mashkin. Someone lends his friend, he says, I'm going to lend you money, but I need collateral. I need to hold an object that's the equivalent worth of what I'm lending you. So bein shilbo mois, whether he lent him monies, bein shilbo paytas, whether he lent him produce, bein shemishkin b'shas halvasa, whether he took the collateral during the time of the loan, mishemishkin acha shilbo, whether he took the collateral after the time of the loan, where maybe for some areas halacha that would make a difference. Here, it's all the same. Hariz Hashem is Sachar. He is a paid guardian because the reason for that is because if a pauper would come to him for tzedakah when he's watching and taking care of this collateral, he would be exempt from giving that poor man some money based on the halachic principle of Isim Mitzvah, Padam and Mitzvah. That is like he's gaining from not having to give that money of tzedakah. So he's getting, like, so to speak, paid for that guardianship. And Lefikach, therefore, since he's getting a pay, so im over hamashkenanignav, if that collateral gets that security gets lost or stolen, chay b'damah, he's going to be liable for that monetary payment, just like a regular shemir sachar is chay v'angneva and aveda. Now v'mnenas hamashken, if there is an oinus, something beyond his control that destroys the mashken, kigun shenilkach ballista mizuin, let's say it was taken by armed bandits or kiritzah b'mishar anosin, or like any one of the other types of oinsin, yishavish enenas, and he swears that it was an oinus, b'shalom b'alamashken as chayvay, and then therefore the owner of the collateral, the borrower, has to pay the debt to the lender, ad pruta chayin up until the last penny, meaning we don't say that, oh, okay, wait, you lost the mashken, so I'm not going to pay that amount. No, since he's exempt, the borrower has to pay whatever it is that he owes. Halacha Beis continues, what happens if they ask each other to watch things for them? So, kolay melech aveir, if someone says to his friend, shmur liv esh malach, you know, you watch me and I'll watch for you. Hariz a shmir baba'olim, so this is considered as being a shemer when the owner of that object is your employee, which we explained this in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, that a shemer is exempt even on the negligence if it's the owner's working for you the same time that you took the object from him. And here each one is also working for the other one, being a shemer for him, and at the same time that he's watching his object. So they're going to be exempt. But if Amalei, let's say, tells him, Shmerli Hayim, you watch for me today, Veshmel Cholamacha, and I'll watch for you tomorrow. Or Hashalein Hayim, you lend me today, Vanei Shal Cholamacha, I'm going to lend you tomorrow. Or Shmerli Hayim, you watch for me today, Vashil Cholamacha, and I'll lend you tomorrow. Or Hashalein Hayim, you lend me today, Veshmel Cholamacha, and I'll watch for you tomorrow. Either way, kulam nasu shem yisachar zelazeh, they are all going to be shem yisachar, because by watching it, he's getting some benefit from it, but it's not at the same time, therefore there's no p'tur of shmir babalim, they'll have the liability of gneva and aveda. Halacha Gimel continues with the remainder of this this parak regarding certain responsibilities regarding, in this case, of a bought object. So kolomonim, all craftsmen, shem yisacharim, they're considered as if they're getting paid to watch the object, because he has a benefit that the vessel is by him, that through that he knows he's going to get paid because he's holding on to the object. So that's similar to like a seicha, a renter, who is getting some type of benefit. So it's like he's like the equivalent of a shemir sachar, who's getting paid to guard. Now, v'kulin shomer, regarding all them that we say, v'kulin shomer, so all the craftsmen are shemir sachar. Now, all them that they say, tula shulcha v'havi mois. Now, let's say they tell to the customer, look, I finished the job. Take what's yours and give me the money. Or the craftsman tells him, Gemaritiv, I finished it. And the owners don't take the vessel. Then already he's done already. I have no need to watch it already. So since he told him I'm done and you're supposed to take it, so the craftsman now becomes a shemechinam, an unpaid guardian. And therefore his liability is even less. But if let's say the craftsman says, specifically in this order, Havi ma'itz v'tel shalach, bring the money and then takes what's yours. So he's revealing his intention that he's going to hold on to it until he gets paid. Then he still remains Allah as a paid guardian as he was, because he's benefiting that the object is still by him, that he still has collateral, he has a security to make sure he's going to get paid. And therefore, he's still getting a gain from having that object. So that's a Shem Esachah, not a Shem Echin. Halacha Dalg, Nasan Lu'uman and Lasakin. Let's say someone gives an object to a craftsman to fix it, Vekilkul, and he ruins it. So the craftsman has to compensate. Ketzer also. Nasan Lucharish, let's say he gives a carpenter a shida, a chest, a teva, a box, a migdal, a closet. Like, boy, be a masmer. to go ahead and knock a nail into it. Ushvarim, and guess what? He breaks the box. Well, let's say he isn't even just wood. Last mem shidu tevim made to make this chest, this box, and this closet. V'nishbiru achashenasu, and he makes it into the box. But then he breaks it afterwards. Meshamloi demei shidu tevim migla. Ezra actually has to pay him, not the value of the wood, the value of the chest, the box, or the closet. The reason for this is she'ena umen koini b'shvacha keli, because the craftsman does not acquire in the benefit of the vessel that he's making. In other words, this that he's doing it for the owner is like he's getting paid for his work, and whatever he's increasing its benefit, it belongs to the owner. And that has nothing to do with the craftsman. And therefore, once he made it into a box, it was at all that point, it was the owner's, and now he ruins it, he's got to pay for whatever he damaged. Let's say he gives wool to a dyer. And the fire was too high, and he burns it in the fat. So nicely the main summary has to compensate him as giving back the value of his wool. Let's say the dye comes out inferior, where he uses the leftover dyes and it gets an inferior color. Let's say he gives it to dye it red. It dyes it black. Or gives him dyed black, it dyes it red. Or let's say he gives wood to a carpenter to make a nice chair for himself. He makes an inferior chair. He makes a bench. So in these cases, if what comes out, the final product, its benefit, its increase in value is more than the expenses he spent on it, he only has to give the least of the two because the craftsman changed from what he had ordered. So the owner of the vessel gives him only the expenses and he gets that profit of the gain. Let's say what the craftsman spent is more than what it's even the increase of the benefit. So he only gives him the benefit of which is less than the cost. I'm a balakli. Let's say the owner of the vessel says, "I don't want what you did for me. You didn't make what I wanted. Give me back the money of my wool or the money of my wood." In Shemla, we don't listen to him. And the other way is also true, because this is how Chazal saw it fit. The owner gets to choose between the Shevach or the Tzav, but he can't choose something else. So if the craftsman says, "Look, you're not happy, here, take the money of your wool, or take the money of your wood, and leave, and I'll take it. I like what I made, or give me according to what, however much I was the profit that I made for it." In general, we don't listen to him. Because the craftsman doesn't acquire any of the shvach that he's making in this vessel. He's just like a hired laborer. He only gets compensated for the expenses, and he doesn't get a choice to say that either back to the owner of the vessel who's not happy. Halacha hey continues related regarding the unique responsibility when it comes to doing work. If someone brings wheat to a grinder, and he doesn't make it wet before he grinds it, and therefore so it doesn't remove the inferior parts of the wheat. Vasan subitza makes into bran or mursnot or coarse flour because it didn't remove the outer layers. Or let's say nusna kemech lanachtim, he gives flour to the baker. Vasoy pasnapul, he makes crumbly bread. Or behemel tabach, he gives an animal to a butcher. Benibla, he makes it into a nevela. He didn't properly slaughter it. So chiyav l'shab demim, these craftsmen, these professionals are obligated to pay back the money of the loss. The reason is b'neishim noisei sachar, because they are getting paid for their services. Now, therefore, im hoye tabach mumcha. Now, let's say, however, he was a professional butcher. Variable number one. V'shachar b'chim, he's actually slaughtering for free. Variable number two. So then, with those two together, patam l'sham is going to be exempt from compensating, because that's like an einus. And since he's a shemechin, he's not getting paid, he's going to be putter on such an einus like this. So although generally shemechach is also, but not for such, as it's not an extreme einus. So therefore, he would be exempt. Now, ve'ena mumcha, if he's not a professional, av b'shebechin, even though he's doing it for free, chayav l'sham, he would have to pay because that's considered a negligence, because since he's not a professional, he should not have slaughtered. And for negligence, even shemechin is chayav. Ve'ena mar din l'shochan, they saw to an equivalent case, if someone shows a coin to the money changer, to say, someone wants to pay me with these monies, are they good? And he says to Miyafu, those are good money, says the money changer. But then it comes out that it actually was bad coins. So in Besacharo, if he saw it for pay, Chayav L'Sham, he has to pay. Av Pishu Bok, even though he's a professional, in Besacharo L'Sham, he doesn't have to learn, because he's a Shem Besacharo, and this is his liability. But in Bechinim Ra'o, again, these two equivalents of being a Mumcha, and he's doing it for free, then part is going to be exempt. But Vahushi, a Bok, as long as he's a professional, Shem Besacharo L'Sham, that he doesn't have to learn, he already knows this art. Now, Vim ain't a Bok, but if he's not a professional, Chayav L'Sham, he has to compensate that person by giving him the mistaken advice, even though he's doing it for free. But this is only if the customer had said to the money changer, Allah ani samech, I'm relying on you. Or it was obvious, it was evident, that he was relying on what he was looking at, but he's not showing it to anyone else. Then it's going to be the responsibility of the money changer. If let's say the butcher did it for free, and he made it into nevela, or if let's say the money changer says, yafa, it was good, but it turns out it was bad. Like all these cases that we're discussing. They have to bring the proof that they're mumchun, which we said. If they do it for free, and they're mumchun, okay, then they'll be exempt. But he has to prove that he's a mumcha. If he doesn't bring a proof, misham, when he has to compensate, is going to be his liability until he proves otherwise. Halach above, regarding this this extreme responsibility as it applies to partnership. So, Malkam Shinogu, in the place where the custom is Shi'ah and the Te'alon, is that whoever plants trees in someone else's field, Noikul Chatzei Shach, he'll take half the profit. Balakarka chatzin, the owner of the property, will take half. V'nota v'shbiach, v'nota v'hivset. Now he plants, and some of them turn out a profit. And v'nota v'hivset, he plants some of them, and some of them turns out to be a loss. So mechashim lechatzin ha'shevach sheyeshle. So we calculate half of the profit that he has for him. U'menakim imenim ha'shevset, and we take away from him what the losses were. U'nait l'ashan, he takes the rest. Now, v'fil his na'alas, but even if he makes a stipulation regarding himself. Shem hivset, you know what? If I make a loss, I'm not going to take anything. Says the Rambam, that's not of essence, because Arizo Smach is just reliance, meaning he thinks he's never going to happen, so he gives such an exaggerated promise, but he's not really relying on that. And then for the Imanakla Ilamashev said, we only take away what he created a loss, we don't take away everything. Now, the next part is the thing that we're talking about regarding the responsibility. Let's say exactly what we just said. Let's say the custom was that the one that plants takes half, Balakarka Mechza, and the owner of the property takes half. Now, let's say the custom of that place was that a sharecropper, sometimes a sharecropper gets certain amounts. In that place, it was he gets a third of the profits. So, if let's say the one who plants, and he made a profit. Now, he wants to get out, doesn't want to finish up the job. Now, it turns out that the owner of the property now has to get a sharecropper to finish up the work. So, what happens is like this. The owner of the property now brings down the sharecropper. Now, the owner of the property, he takes his half. And therefore, the owner of the property doesn't have to take any loss for this. Now, the sharecropper takes a third, as the sharecropper always takes. And the sixth that remains is of the one who planted. Because he removed himself willingly, and therefore he has to suffer that loss. Again, that's the theme we're talking about regarding the achrayis, regarding the responsibility, where here he backed out, so that loss is only going to be his, and he gets what's ever left over after the sharecropper takes his part. Halacha Zayin, regarding the extreme loss when it comes to a public type of position. If someone was planting trees for the country, for that state, she hifs it and he ruins it. Let's say he's the butcher of the city, where he made the animals of the community into nevelas. Someone who's the bloodletter, where he injured people. Or the town scribe made errors in documents causing losses. Or the school teacher of the community, where he was negligent with the children and he didn't teach them or he taught them the mistaken ideas. And all that which is similar for these professions. It's not possible to give back the loss that was done. The animals in the Nevela, you can't bring it back alive. The children who have learned the wrong thing or didn't learn cannot make up for that time, cannot make up for those mistakes. In those situations, we remove those people from their positions without any warnings, although you generally have to warn a person, because they're already pre-warned, as if they're pre-warned, until they do their work appropriately. Since they were appointed by the public on them, a person has to know, you take a public position with responsibility, you know that as if you're being warned that this is very important because this cannot be fixed, and therefore if he makes such mistakes, he gets removed immediately without any warning.